And Christensen tells us that here's another irony, right? When we take our eyes off our pain and focus them on God's enormous and splendid being, the multitude of our pain, he tells us, shrinks exponentially, right? Exponentially. God is astronomically greater than the event of the most horrific evils that can inflict seemingly intractable injury on our soul. God is greater than that, right? And so to take refuge in him precisely when evil has appeared to take over is to place where hope is most amplified. Right? Hope is made, he tells us, meaningless without some seemingly futile adversary desperate to be overthrown. Hope is not to spurn the stubborn persistence of evil that threatens to overtake our lives, but to covet a redeemer who promises to overtake evil. Right? So that's the purpose of it. Here.
Yeah. You know, how many people went to their death for this idea of who God is? You know, why was that a joy to some? Why was that counted not as loss? It seems like, okay, you can attribute it to religious fervor to the highest degree, but it seems to be for all types of men, all types of women, rich, poor, those in power or who had power, and then those who were slaves, those who had much learning and those who didn't. There were many people that said, "This is who God is, and I will die not to go against that Creator." And so what spurns that on? It's a proper view of who God is, what he commands, and what he commands is greater than what man can punish you for disobeying, like sprinkling incense on an altar for Caesar and claiming him to be God. That doesn't seem, if you're kind of this atheist viewpoint, well, that doing that or not doing that is the same thing, so there's no point. But why is someone like Polycarp unable to? He says, I cannot do that. Just taking a pinch of incense and putting it on the altar is defaming who God is. So he has this correct idea of the structure of the universe, of God being greater and one where the creature, the creator-creature relationship. And so that's spurned the entirety of church history. And even when the church has gone into the persecution game, it's always been an attempt to say, this is who God is, and we should be following it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. While at the time that we're videoing this, we're in the midst of this rumbling between Russia and Ukraine and United States and all that kind
of stuff.
Hopefully
it's rumbling still and not in a bigger way.
Yeah, right. And I guess we'll... Yeah. By the time some people watch this, they may know.
Although, maybe I don't have to edit this video. Story. So, win-win either way.
Yeah, but I was reading the other day a missionary newsletter, and there were this agency had sponsored several missionaries into Ukraine, and they wrote back to the agency and said, "We're not leaving. God has called us here." Some of them had planted churches there in Ukraine. And, our mission, our purpose is to serve the folks that God has called us to serve. So we're not leaving. This is what God wants us to do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Great. That's exactly the God that we want to not only serve, but we would want to serve. We want a God that isn't us.
Yeah. You know? And isn't all about us. Right. And what our happiness and that sort of thing. Yeah.